Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. My name is Dan with my lovely wife and very best friend, Sheila Crawford. And we want to remind our listeners that all our radio programs and newsletters are archived on shofarministries.net. A wealth of knowledge that we hope you will share with others. Please now join us in prayer. Most generous Abba Father, as we gaze into the dark clouds upon the earth, with its evil and corrupt leaders in most every nation, may we who are truly called by your name stay strong to individually fulfill our God-given destiny, to always being ready to give that gospel. We pray for our faithful listeners, for their healing of any infirmities, and the salvation of our loved ones. Bless abundantly our faithful supporters as we sincerely thank you for your many provisions, and may you be glorified with tonight's message. And we pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, the major news that came over this weekend is the death of conservative Supreme Court Justice Scalia, who at age 79 has died. Originally, it was ruled as natural causes by the Texas County Judge Guevara, who actually never really saw him, and who said no autopsy was needed and convinced the family as well. This is not only against Texas law, but also unheard of with any head of state or Supreme Court judge, especially one so despised by left liberals. And then, look how fast they embalmed him. You know, with the death of this real constitutionalist, important rulings will be compromised, even though previous oral arguments have already come to conclusions.
Well, that's all out the window now.
Right. The court, the Supreme Court, can now vote, even without a replacement of Scalia, to radically change the United States of America, and is now very likely to rubber stamp Obama's unconstitutional amnesty orders and tear down Republican-drawn districts in many states and take deep left turns on abortion, affirmative action, gun rights, or anything the liberals have ever dreamed of. Scalia was a solid vote to overturn Obama's executive order on immigration as well, which the final ruling will be decided by April. And what had already been orally decided, but again not finalized, with an official ruling that unions cannot charge mandatory dues to non-member workers.
You know, also that religious organizations can opt out of Obamacare.
I know.
Yep, I tell you, it's fallen into place
for the lefties.
For rock.
Yeah. Well, probably what infuriated Obama the most was the Supreme Court 5-4 vote, thanks to Justice Scalia, that actually overruled that recent president's executive order that would have severely hurt smaller industrial businesses because of the stricter EPA regulations and would have totally destroyed the coal industry that is already hurting.
Yeah, you know, small businesses are hurt enough, but, you know, Scalia was undoubtedly slowing down Obama's progress with only a year left to do further damage.
Yeah, he's in a hurry.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's face it. It's hard not to smell a rat, and you must admit it's been done many times before. Hello. And the Drudge Report said yesterday they found a pillow over his head.
And his hands were neatly folded on top of his chest.
Well, I don't know about neatly, but so to me, that says the culprits were sending a clear message. I mean, if you're going to do something, you wouldn't leave the pillow on his head. And I'm hearing of much more information, by the way, but I just need to confirm some of this stuff before openly saying it. But know this, we are in serious times.
Smells of high treason to me.
Yeah. So, if our president gets his way with a liberal new judge, or even if he can't, keeping future votes at, say, 4-4, then he can still easily get things passed in the lower courts.
And he wins again.
Well, you know, the Bible does imply that evil will triumph for a while.
Yeah.
Like in the parables of Matthew 13, you know, where God allows the tares until he returns to separate it from the wheat. It's kind of another way of putting the separation of the sheep and goats, you know, of Matthew 25. That happens at the end of the tribulation. We must, as born-again, Bible-believing, steadfast, bride of Christ, completely trust him. Study his word, because you're going to need that power and discernment that we need now more than any other time in A.D. history. And long passionately for his coming.
2 Timothy 4:8.
That's right. And most importantly, do the work of an evangelist.
Amen.
Amen.
Any news from the Middle East?
Well, of course, but to sum it up quickly, fighting continues in Syria, but is more intense than ever. Russia and Iran's proxy army, Hezbollah, are really closing in on Aleppo. And that's the country's largest city, where the anti-Assad Syrian rebels, not ISIS, but they're dug in for what amounts to be a last stand. Now, if the city is regained by Assad's government, that should effectively mean the end of rebellion against Assad. And the Sunni Gulf monarchies and Turkey and the United States are not happy about it, because remember, they were the ones that we had been supporting to oust Assad until ISIS came on the scene.
Pretty hard to keep it organized in our minds, isn't it?
I know it is. But know that Russia has plans. They do want to rule Syria, and they can do it through Assad. And Iran, obviously, is in there too, but is looking more closely at Iraq. So they can have that big crescent there.
Most amazing, interesting days we live in. All right, now, enough of that. All right, then. You can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings, they're still very much needed and greatly appreciated, and automatically put you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. And as always, on the first Friday of every month, Shofar Assembly gathers for worship and a timely Bible study at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio. And we'll be back in Mentor on March 24th. Okay, honey.
Thank you.
Time to teach.
All right. Well, tonight I'd like to address the emergent church, or better put, the new emerging church. And there's a little bit of a difference here, and where that is today. Now, there have been a few movements in my decades of knowing Christ as my personal Savior. I remember, the Out of Balance Faith movement, which places the blame on you if you're not healed. And for a while, I was pulled into that until I realized his higher purpose exceeds our tiny bits of knowledge. Then came the new wave in Pensacola and soon Toronto, where they told you to be in church every time the doors were open. And during this revival, they were open 7 days a week, where not a lot of the word was preached. But they did sing a lot, they danced a lot, and they fell down a lot. And if you were really touched, you could start twitching uncontrollably. Of course, that's what unbelievers want it to be like. I don't think so. It's not a good example. I remember when I was in Pensacola, we went to a restaurant and a few believers who were using their uncontrollable gift of twitching, as they called it. And you can just imagine what the unbelieving patrons were questioning in their minds. I doubt that Paul would have done that. Then there was the laughing phenomenon, also uncontrollably, called the Toronto Blessing, when the one preaching God's word couldn't finish because everyone there would burst out laughing. And they called it a blessing from God to interrupt his word. I think that's when I really realized the church was losing its discernment. Then about 10 years ago, an unknown preacher named Rick Warren wrote The Purpose-Driven Church on how to bring the lost into a place where they could feel comfortable, and therefore pastors would grow their congregations and bring in lots of money. And it was all about the numbers. And we know what God thinks about counting the numbers of people, because it can often bring with it pride. 1 Chronicles 2:1, remember that, when David did it? We should know that God doesn't want sinners to be comfortable, but rather repentant. And I am sure, at least I think, that some were probably, but the majority assumes, and still does, that just by attending church, it makes you a Christian. Like sitting in a garage makes you a car. I know that's an old saying, but it does fit. But now, they would say, and are saying, it's time to rethink what it means to have a 21st century faith. So these emerging pastors like Doug Padgett and other emerging teachers like Rob Bell and Brian McLaren, they're saying, we need a new faith for a new century, while questioning a real heaven and a real hell. What also bothers me a lot is that they portray to the younger generation that the older, seasoned Christians, like myself, we live in the past and thereby downplay our wisdom, even though Scripture clearly embraces it. Job 12:12 says, wisdom is with the aged, and with long life, understanding. The now emerging church into a one world church questions the validity of the already established evangelical Christian doctrines to a more how to do or experiential church. And that absolute truth does not exist. Rather, what they call pluralism, which rejects that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, even though Scripture says he is the only way to the Father in John 14. And, of course, I'm sure you've heard the Pope is openly declaring it as well. He even made a video about it that you can watch yourself on YouTube, and it's called The Pope's Video. And this should jolt all true Bible-believing Christians out of any slumber and shock them, shock you, into reality. But where's the outrage? Most Catholics are saying nothing about it. And the Pope, who said he comes in his own name, not Jesus' name, implores everyone to join together and recognize that we all worship the same God. This is harlotry at its finest, Revelation 17. The one world religion is assembling right before everyone's eyes, even seen amongst so-called mainline Christians. And they're silent too. What's really sad is so many seem to be in a state of euphoria. It's just mind-boggling to watch it. And if I wasn't aware this had to happen according to Revelation, I wouldn't believe it. Anyhow, Are there any doubts? We can clearly see the enemy's tactics occurring right now, emerging into the all faiths movement. The mother of all harlots, a global church who worships any god. You see, they have been conditioning the masses over the last decade. Yes, the emergent church slowly began introducing pagan philosophy and rituals a while ago. And a famous one, of course, I'm sure you've heard it, is called Walking the Labyrinth. It's a maze where one walks to the center, contemplates with mantra-type prayers to open one's mind, and then eventually walks backward to get out. Also, they are partaking of ashes on Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent, and love to use numerous lit candles, and even, oh yes, using the sign of the cross. And they even conduct teaching sessions on its proper implementation, like being sure to put the index finger over your thumb when making the appropriate body touches. Doug Patchett, his church is called Solomon's Church, he wrote in his book titled Church Reimagined, said this. This gesture, and that's he's talking about making the sign of the cross, has become a very powerful experience for me. It is rich with meaning and history and a simple way to proclaim my faith with my body. They also have crucifixes and religious picture icons that they stare at and pray to, which is forbidden in Scripture, Exodus 20. So now, for people to join in with others who already have been doing these things, as in the Catholic Church, makes one feel more comfortable in accepting basically this whoredom who is just about to be christened. You know, hardly a day goes by without some news relating to Bible prophecy, if you really think about it. And, of course, the advancing trend towards a global religion for the cause of peace. And yet, few understand that the Bible predicts this will happen with horrendous turmoil before the return of Jesus to the earth, Revelation 19. And then, of course, he sets up his wonderful millennial kingdom. Again, Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, Revelation 19:10. So this is no surprise to those who take Bible prophecy seriously. But let me remind you what the Apostle Paul said. He wrote, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. And that's why, along with the global government, they are saying we must all come together for peace. But man's plan for peace is inspired by Satan and will end in disaster, not in utopia. Notice also in that scripture, it says, they shall not escape. Doesn't that mean that some will? Hello, that's us. It's also confirmed in Luke 21:36. While the Bible warns about the deception that will be characteristic of the last days through many prophetic statements, and Jesus himself said in Matthew 24, the modern-day purpose-driven Christianity no longer pays attention to what God has said in his word. Without question, the closer we get to the return of Christ, fewer and fewer who profess Christ believe what his word says. That reminds me of 1 Timothy 4:1, where Paul says that some will depart from the faith, but that doesn't necessarily mean to renounce one's faith. Ask yourself, where do we get our faith? Well, faith comes by understanding and hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. So, 1 Timothy 4:1 can also mean, and probably more so, that in the latter days some will draw back from the word of God, because the word depart is number 868, epistemi, meaning to draw back. And that is so true today. No longer do most Christians tithe their time in God's word, which is how I was mentored and how I mentor others. You know, in Amos 8:11, he said, in the last days there would be a famine of hearing God's word. Not meaning we wouldn't have it if we wanted it, but not hearing it today, not caring about it. And that is what we already see happening, especially when it comes to Bible prophecy. They have bought the lie that instead of turning to God, man can fix the problems we face in man's way. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And guess what? Solomon repeats it again two chapters later. We cannot go on by what we think or feels is right, because feelings can and often does deceive us into following false teachers and false prophets, like those who propagated lies in Jeremiah's day. Remember, he wept over the people's deception. And today, heretics are proclaiming that the kingdom of God can be established here and now without the presence of the real King, Jesus Christ. Oh, all we have to do is come together, since we all worship the same God. What a crock that is. And the emergent church helped to bud it, and it's about to bloom, because we are leaving who are restraining it from total fruition. So what do we do? Well, if we realize this current apostasy is clearly fulfilling Bible prophecy, but if you're still remaining silent, is it because you fear that you'll be considered a radical crackpot who take the Bible too seriously? I know it's easier to remain silent and let those who have chosen to be deceived continue in their way. However, you precious saints of God, wolves in sheep's clothing are leading the unsuspecting to their slaughter, using church growth methods, ignoring the gospel, and promoting nothing more than feel-good experiences. Such is Satan's clever plan to set up the counterfeit bride that masquerades as the true church. Start talking more. Do the work of an evangelist, and some will listen. Even if it's only one soul, it's still worth it. But if you are not in your word a lot, you'll lack the power needed. So make a new commitment right now unto God to make every day count. And you'll be rewarded, and I promise you that he will, because he did make that promise to his bride. So rejoice and keep looking up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Soon we will be called up to meet him in the air. I am so excited about that, I can hardly wait. But in the meantime, we have to occupy and tell as many people as you can that the Lord is coming soon. A lot of people recognize that there's a lot of junk going on out there. Seize the moment. Utilize the time wisely. He's showing us that it's coming to an end on purpose so that we'll be stirred up to tell others. Honestly, don't waste another moment. Try to at least tell one person every day about his soon return and how they can be part of the bride of Christ. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. That's from Numbers 6:22. Yavrekka Adonai v'yishmerekka, Ya'er Adonai panav eleka v'yinekka, Yasei Adonai panav eleka v'yisem, aha, shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And that's a promise. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her shall prosper. Psalm 122:6. And when you pray that, you're praying for Jesus' soon return, because that's the only way Jerusalem will be at peace. God bless.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.